I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas.
This morning, we celebrate the birth of Jesus, who is the light of the world. Now, I don't know if you know this, but this year, on the same day as Christmas, our Jewish brothers and sisters begin their 8-day celebration of Hanukkah. And in both of our traditions, we light candles and we remember that God has not abandoned us to darkness, but brings us light and hope and the promise of God's never-ending covenant with us. Well, I don't know about you, but when I see a fact like Christmas and Hanukkah are on the same day this year, I tend to do a Google search and wonder, oh, how often does this happen, and when was the last time? Well, when I looked it up, the last time Christmas and Hanukkah were together was back in 1978. Now, some of you weren't born yet, but how many of you remember 1978? Okay, we got the majority here. So do you remember some of the headlines from that year? One in particular is pretty much burned in my memory. Remember back to the summit at Camp David? There were Egyptian President Anwar Sadat, the Israeli Prime Minister Menachem Begin, and the United States President Jimmy Carter. They were going back and forth in negotiations. Egypt and Israel had been at war since the beginning of the State of Israel 31 years before that. Remember, it was just shortly after World War II when the Jewish State of Israel was created. And ever since that time, there has not been very much peace in the Middle East. But with this historic agreement, it brought these two enemy nations, Egypt and Israel, to pretty much a truce. And the peace treaty has held up all these years. Now, the image that I remember is of Anwar Sadat and Menachem Begin shaking hands. Do you remember that? With Jimmy Carter standing in the background. I don't think I understood at the time just how historic that really was. Here, even today, Jimmy Carter still working behind the scenes, trying to get peace between the Palestinians and the Israelis. What is so difficult is they occupy the same territories. They live side by side in separate states, but sharing the same land. We continue to pray for peace in Israel and peace throughout the whole world, because it was there in Israel that the story of Jesus' birth took place. So this morning we recalled the story of Jesus' birth. We're singing familiar Christmas carols. Soon we will exchange the peace between one another, and we will share in Holy Communion the body and blood of Jesus. In order for all that to take place this morning, it's due to the sacrifice of Mary and Joseph 2,000 years ago, who traveled from their hometown, which I think they probably thought was going to be a short trip. But we'll hear in the weeks ahead that Herod wasn't too pleased that there was a rival king born among the Jews. And so soon we will be celebrating the Feast of the Holy Innocents, where the young boys, the young Jewish boys in Israel, were seen as a threat, and they were murdered at the orders of the king. This is what made Mary and Joseph flee into Egypt and become refugees. They were fleeing for their very lives and for our sake, the sake of their son, who would be able to be spared and to grow up and to live and die as our Savior. Now, usually besides the Christmas story, the Christmas carols, coming to church together, we also exchange gifts. Maybe some of you have exchanged gifts last night, or there were some presents under the tree from Santa Claus this morning, or maybe some will be opening gifts later today. But I'm wondering, what is the gift you are really seeking this year? Is it something that you've seen advertised on television? Or perhaps something that you hope someone made for you? Or maybe it's a wish that you would like to see fulfilled. I think we all have a vision of what we might like our lives to be, but sometimes those visions seem out of reach. But did you ever wonder what would happen if all your wishes came true? Well, I'm going to tell you a story, a fable, about one woman's wish coming true. And it was written for the Christmas season a few years back by the Reverend Richard Fairchild. Once upon a time, there was a fisherman and his wife. And their home was a very humble two-room cottage with a tiny garden and a well. And every day the fisherman would go out to his boat, and in the evening he'd bring home his catch. And sometimes the catch was good and sometimes it was poor. This was their livelihood. But the fisherman's wife was discontented. She would tell her husband, "Why do I have to live in this hovel? Is it too much to expect a decent home with water and electricity and a kitchen? I wish I were a lady." Her continual grousing made the fisherman quite miserable. One day something happened which changed their lives. The man caught a strange and beautiful fish, which startled him when the fish began to speak. "Please throw me back into the sea, and I'll grant whatever wish you want." So the fisherman thought, and then he replied, "So be it. I wish my wife was a lady and lived in a proper house with water, electricity, and a kitchen." When he returned home that evening, he found that his wish had been granted, and his wife was very pleased. But as the months went by, she began to grumble again. "Is it too much to expect something better than this little house? I wish I was a duchess with a mansion and servants and a carriage. Why did you ask for so little? I'm sure the fish meant us to do better than this." So, driven by his wife's constant nagging, the fisherman tried to contact the fish again. So he rowed his boat out to the spot where he'd caught the fish, and no sooner Had he called, then the fish appeared and agreed to his request. But the Duchess was still not satisfied. Within a month, she was grumbling and complaining again. I wish I were a queen. Go see your fish. And so he did. Life in the palace was luxurious, but the fisherman's wife, now a queen, still wasn't content. What I would really like, she said, would to be God. I'm sure your fish will understand that this is what I wanted all along. So the man went fishing again, and he found his fishy friend, and his wish was granted. But when the man returned home, he found no palace on the shore, no mansion, not even a house. But he heard crying and noticed a cave in the cliff, and he went closer. Inside it was fashioned into a rough stable. There were two oxen and a donkey, and in the manger a little baby was crying. The fisherman's wife got her wish. The wife in this rewritten fable, she had forgotten what God is like in human flesh. She'd forgotten about Christmas and Jesus' birth in the stable. She'd also forgotten about Jesus' life and his passion and death. She'd forgotten that our God is a God who comes and identifies with his people, especially with the poorest and most humble among us. It's easy to forget what it cost Jesus to come to earth as one of us. He gave up his heavenly throne in order to come and give us heaven. God was born as a baby in Bethlehem, knowing full well that the cross would follow as surely as night follows day. Greater love has no one than this, that they lay down their life for their friends. This is the love of Christmas. God laid aside his throne, took flesh, and became one of us. He humbled himself and gave his life. And in the face of this incredible, beautiful, and sobering news, there can only be one response: that we love God with all our heart and soul and mind and strength, and to love one another as God loves us. We are called to be love, that light of Christ and our world. Now, many times when we think of love, we think of the scripture found in 1 Corinthians 13. There have been many adaptations to that love chapter in the Bible, but here's my rendition for this Christmas. If I decorate my house perfectly with beautiful Christmas decorations and find the perfect tree and fill it with strands of twinkling lights and shiny, expensive ornaments, but do not show love to my family and friends, I'm just another home decorator. If I slave away in the kitchen, baking dozens of Christmas cookies, preparing gourmet meals, and setting a beautiful table, but do not have love in my heart for those with whom I will share the meal, I'm just another cook. If I hand tie a comfy fleece blanket for a child who lives in a shelter, and if I sing Christmas carols at a local nursing home and give money to the bell ringer for Salvation Army, but do not have love in my heart, it profits me nothing. If I put up the nativity set and set up a dazzling display of outdoor Christmas lights, and sing cantatas in the church choir and visit the sick and shut-in, but do not give thanks to Jesus for coming to earth as my Savior, I've missed the point of Christmas. Love stops cooking in order to hug a child or spouse or talk with a friend in need. Love is kind even when you're stressed to the max. Love doesn't envy another home that has coordinated Christmas china and table linens and candles that don't drip on the tablecloth. Love doesn't get angry at long traffic lights at major intersections and with irritable shoppers in retail stores, or those who park their cars while taking up two spaces in the already overcrowded parking lot. Love doesn't give presents only to those who are able to give in return, but rejoices in giving to those who can't begin to reciprocate. Love remembers those who lived and died in the service to our country, and for all emergency personnel who work overtime during this holiday season to keep us safe. Love reaches out to others who are hurting, to those who are homeless, and those who are grieving. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. China and glassware and ornaments will break. Silverware and jewelry will tarnish. Tools and golf clubs and fishing poles will rust. Games and electronic toys and gifts will become soon outdated and discarded. But the gift of love will endure forever. So on this Christmas morning, may we receive God's love anew, that love which became flesh and dwelt among us. And then in turn, may we be generous in sharing that love with others, especially those most in need of God's love. Merry Christmas.